trying to find kid-friendly weekend activities? Or maybe you're looking to pamper your pet? Then head over to CBS Local's Family and Pet section at bestof.cbslocal.com. You'll find recommendations on one-tank road trips and nearby staycations, plus ideas for the best local swim classes and family-friendly hikes. For everything family and pets in your city, visit bestof.cbslocal.com. CBS Local. Local lives here.
Honey, have you seen my pain pills?
I think you're out. Better call your doctor. Wait, hasn't it been a month since your surgery?
She's right. I shouldn't need them anymore. How did this happen? Seems like overnight I went from coping with a painful surgery to never feeling normal without my meds.
Struggling with control over medication? Soft Landing Recovery has a holistic approach to getting you back to you. Contact us now at 1-800-NEW-CHANCE. That's 1-800-NEW-CHANCE. Soft Landing Recovery. Comfortable. Compassionate. Confidential.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, this is Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago Sports Station, WSCR and HD Chicago, WJMK HD2 Chicago.
The Score! Scoreboard update.
From the Chicago Wolves Update Studio, I'm Nick Shepkowski. The Chicago Wolves are hosting a golf expo as part of the game on March 29th at 3 p.m. John Lester pitched in a minor league game earlier today for the Cubs, threw 55 pitches there. He's expected to be on a strict pitch count opening night against the Cardinals. Elsewhere for the Cubs, Theo Epstein says calling up Chris Bryant for opening day would be out of character for what he's always done as a baseball executive.
As far as when he makes his major league debut, whether he'll be part of this opening day roster, we haven't put together our final roster yet, but you know, I can say this is my 13th time putting a team together at the end of spring training. I've never once put a young prospect on an opening day roster when he had to make his major league debut.
Epstein on Comcast Sportsnet Chicago last night. Cubs host the Angels today in Cactus League action. Sox getting ready to take on the Dodgers and Clayton Kershaw this afternoon as well. NCAA tournament resumes tonight. It's the round of 16. Notre Dame takes on Wichita State at 6:15 for a trip to the Elite Eight. They will get the winner of Kentucky and West Virginia. That's a contest following the Irish and Wichita State matchup. In the West region, Wisconsin plays North Carolina, and Arizona takes on Xavier for a trip to the Elite Eight. Bulls off tonight. They host the Knicks on Saturday. Hawks off tonight. They host Columbus tomorrow. And Aaron Hernandez's murder trial delayed briefly today because of a bomb threat that was called in to the courthouse. This scoreboard update brought to you by PDQ Signature Systems, fast, efficient restaurant POS software. Interact with your favorite shows on 670 The Score, brought to you by thehomeloanexpert.com. Text to 67011 and we'll send you a message confirming we received it. Message and data rates apply. I'm Nick Shepkowski and you're listening to the number one sports radio station in Chicago, Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
This hour of The Score is brought to you by Woodfield Nissan, the Midwest's number one Nissan volume dealer.
Boers and Bernstein.
It's stunningly bad.
Afternoons on The Score.
We are tabulating your responses to the awful eight round of voting in a pair of regions. We began with the Terry Boers region today. One of these teams going to the Vile Four. Either elevator rides with Ray Rice or Mark Trestman's powers of observation. And in the Tannehill region, this one we knew would be tightly contested. Being in an ISIS video, the top overall seed in the Tournament of Bad against the two seed Malaysian Airlines. So as that information arrives, we will be looking forward to letting you know. And then the voting has begun already on the other side. So here you go. TournamentofBad.com. We have anti-vaxxers against being arrested while soliciting a hooker. That's a 1 versus an 11. Anti-vaccine
weirdos. Nice show by the hooker.
Against being arrested while soliciting a hooker. And then in my region, it is beating a 4-year-old with a stick against Jackie Robinson West apologists. Beating a 4-year-old with a stick against Jackie Robinson West apologists. That voting is open. Here is Greg on The Score. Hi, Greg.
Hey, how are you?
Okay.
I just had a comment on the Scott Boras deal, besides getting a 3D SOB, but I think his main interest is in the next contract for Chris Bryant.
Sure it is. Yeah, we know what his interests are.
Right. Well, my question is, in the rule, it's 3 years, and so they're trying to delay that 3 year full time in the
bigs. Trying to gain an extra year of control, which is primarily for contract negotiation purposes. It's really a leverage play more than it is actually having him for that year, because the chances are they're going to try to work out a multi-year extension long before that point anyway.
Okay, right. But he, is there anything that says that he could not sign today for the next 7 years?
Sure he could.
Yep. Do, sure. Yeah, absolutely do that. Yeah,
oh, absolutely.
Yeah, so,
yep.
Could do that.
So it's just, you know, Boris is saying, well, it's, you know, this and that. Well, it's all his interest because he wants another payday.
Well, it's also his client's interest because it's, look, if here's the thing. If Chris Bryant went to Boris right now and said, hey, man, let's do a deal. Let's look at the Rizzo deal. Let's look at some of these other contracts and let's do this right now. Just forget all this crap. He would do it because he works for the player. But sometimes the player is told by the, and I'm not saying that Chris Bryant is some naif here, doesn't understand what's going on. I always assume the player is in charge. But when you hire a guy like this, he has any number of previous cases where Boris says, this is how we're going to do this. This is how this goes, and this is how I plan to handle it. And if you, anytime you have an issue, let me know, and we'll do it differently. But this is the path.
Yeah, generally, I don't think you see one this early. I don't think you see one of those. I mean, it may be, you know, there may be some cases, but I don't think very often this happens. I'm trying to think of somebody who's done this that was this early. You know, like before you ever actually take a bat, that you're already being extended for this and at this amount. I don't. You got to have something first. You got to show me. Got to show me something first. And I have no doubt he will, but I don't recall anybody doing that, but he certainly could.
Here are your results. Elevator Rides with Ray Rice has reached the Vial 4, knocking off Mark Trestman's powers of observation, and it's an easy win for being in an ISIS video, defeating Malaysian Airlines 64% to 36%. Elevator Rides with Ray Rice was 61-39, so that's what it's going to be. For a spot in the finals, Elevator Rides with Ray Rice against being in an ISIS video. The other half of the bracket voting on now. Quinn is next on the score. Hello, Quinn.
Hi. I would just like to say I would love to see the DH and the NL as a Cub fan. Besides, you know, the fact you limit your trade partner market, a guy like Dan Vogelbach, who might not be a great hitter, or excuse me, a great fielder, if he turns out to be a great hitter, you can only trade him to, in a sense, half the teams in Major League Baseball, so it gives you more flexibility with making trades, and it also limits a chance that John Lester gets hit by a pitch or fouls, you know, a ball off his foot. It makes so much sense. It makes your defense better. The National League is the only league in the world that doesn't use a DH. It's just time. It's time for it to happen.
I would love it.
I think it's hard for me to listen to the cries that the game is getting this, and it's slowing down and is getting this because there's not enough runs scored and there's not enough action, and then have a team with an entire league without a DH. It's very hard for me to listen to that. If you want that to happen, then you give them the DH. If you think that that's what it would take, that would be a step. I don't think it would be all, but if you think that would be a step, any kind of step, even half step, in the right direction, why you don't do it, because you can't have it both ways. Can't say, well, you know what, you know, score enough, people's interest is down, you know, all this other stuff, and it's tough, so we got to do this, we got to speed up the game, we got to do this. Well, why don't you try to find some offense in that league?
It's also another job that it's hard for the Players Association to say no to it if you want to do it, because you've got another job.
Yeah.
And the Cubs have so many DHs possibly. I mean, is Danny Vogelbach, he's still in the organization, right? Big Danny Vogelbach?
Yep.
He's still there.
He's still there.
And they don't know where Schwarber's going to play. They're not sure what Bryant's going to do. And the other aspect of the Bryant at third base is that he's 6'5". And the third baseman is in a low crouch all the time. You are bending over to pick up that baseball. There is a different stress. Ask Joe Creedy about that. And I know some of his problem, the instability in his back, was more due to hitting than it was to fielding. But that's not easy. Who are the tallest third basemen ever? Who are comps for tall third basemen who did it for a long time?
There aren't many, I'll tell you that.
Can you
talking about a small group, small sample size, I think.
Right.
I mean, the best, if you look at, say, for example, like the third baseman in the Hall of Fame, none of those guys are big guys. I mean, it's just, that's not a place where you look over, you see a 6'6 guy standing there.
You know, Brett Schmidt.
They're not big.
Now, this is a list from Beyond the Box Score, but this was back in 2012. But some of these numbers, that when Miguel Cabrera was at 36'4". Hanley Ramirez is 6'3". Scott Rowland, 6'4". Chipper Jones, 6'4". A-Rod, 6'3". Ryan Zimmerman, 6'3". And then you see a lot of guys, 6'2", 6'1", and then dropping off to Alberto Callaspo, who's 5'9". But is there a comp? Is there a comp we're missing for a career success at third base who is 6'5"? Now, Ripken at short was 6'4". Mm-hmm. Okay. I don't really think there is a reasonable comp.
Dan, I don't think so.
Peoria, Dan, you're on the score.
I don't think so.
Dan.
Yes.
Hello.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Good.